Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Stephen. Thanks for coming back, and great to be here again.
Good to be back with you.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a hectic last few weeks, and
yes,
I can't believe it's already been a week since we were last here, and we're going to get back. Last week we had a show about the election, and today we're going to get back into some of our usual Bible study, but I think we can still make a few comments about the election, even though it's over.
Well, I think it's important that we still, you know, we need to focus our hearts and our minds on God, because that's really what it's all about. Because we still need to pray for God to heal our land.
Yes.
We need to continually seek his face and his will for us, because that God is ultimately going to make us a prosperous nation, a prosperous people. And not just with goods and riches, but spiritually, that we are united with him, that we follow his laws, his decrees, that we are part of the new and everlasting covenant, purchased through the blood of Messiah. And that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Nothing else matters.
Yes. Otherwise, we're a nation under judgment.
Yeah. If we are covered in the blood of the Lamb, we are covered in the, you know, we're in the blood of the new covenant.
Exactly.
And that is ultimately what we talk about, what we preach about.
Right.
You know, that it's by God's grace that this gift has been given to us. And to be good stewards of that gift of his grace, we need to cooperate with that.
Yes, exactly.
We need to cooperate and have that relationship with him.
Yes.
That he so much desires that he gave his only son, that we can have that type of relationship with him.
Yes.
That we can enter into his presence by the blood of Jesus and say, Abba.
Amen.
By the Spirit.
Right.
You know.
As adopted sons and daughters.
Adopted sons and daughters.
Yeah. And as, you know, as Jesus told us that we have to be salt and light, no matter who's in power, no matter what government it's in, even if it's your local city council, you still have to be salt and light.
Right. You still have to be salt and light because the battle still goes on.
Yes.
For souls.
Yes, exactly.
And that battle continues today, even 1 week after the election.
Yes. Yes. And the enemy will use whatever means at his disposal to affect people.
Exactly.
And as believers and as followers of Jesus the Messiah, we have to always be vigilant. We have to always be ready. You know, Peter says you always have to be ready to give an explanation for the hope that lies within you. So when people say to you, well, how come you believe that? You have to be ready to explain it. Or when somebody says, well, how come you think this is wrong? You have to be ready to explain it.
Yeah. I mean, if you go around, you know, moping the whole day and, oh, woe is me and woe is me, and then people look at you and go, man, what's wrong with that person? Yeah. You know, what's going on with them?
That's right.
Yeah, there's not a lot of hope there.
Right.
Our hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
Our hope is in the resurrection.
Yes. And you have to show the joy of the Lord, just whatever situation that you're in.
Yeah. Because
people watch you and what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's probably happened to you. It's happened to me. It's probably happened to everyone that, you know, when you get upset about something and you lose your temper, people say, gee, you know,
I thought he was a Christian.
I thought you were a Christian. Why are you acting like that? Or when you're sitting around moping saying, oh man, everything at work is terrible. And, you know, people say, well, I thought you guys were always supposed to be happy. not that you walk around with a fake smile all the time going, everything is wonderful.
Happiness, happiness and internal joy are two different things.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well put. So that kind of puts the end of the election show.
Another 2 or 4 years.
2 weeks before that, or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember anymore, we were talking about how the gospel has been changed and how the gospel has been hijacked in our modern times to a different gospel, a gospel of tolerance and being nice and not getting anybody upset, and pretty much tolerating, which means accepting everything that goes on around you.
Right.
That, you know, that's what Jesus would do. And, you know, you hear people say, well, isn't that what Jesus would do?
Yeah, good, bad, or different.
Exactly. And the gospel has been hijacked. And we used as an example Galatians chapter 1 when Paul says, I can't believe you people. I mean, I came there, preached the gospel. You came to faith in Jesus as Messiah. You were all hepped up and you were doing prayer groups and Bible studies and Sunday mm-hmm. morning services, and you were doing all these things. And then I left for a while, and now I hear all these stories about you guys, like how soon you fell away from that, and you started to change the gospel.
Right.
To Jesus plus these things that we have to do, mm-hmm. and Jesus plus this other stuff that we have to do. And, you know, he talks about how many of you are going back to the law, and how many of you are listening to the Judaizers, and, you know, he says you've perverted the gospel.
Right.
The pure gospel that he came and preached, the new covenant of grace,
mm-hmm.
has already been changed. And it was only like 6 months ago I was there or whatever it is, because there's always somebody who comes to change things.
Right.
There's always somebody, you know, you never know when the enemy's going to send somebody in to say something to disrupt you or to interfere with what you're trying to do.
Exactly.
And he says, even if an angel comes and tells you a different gospel, you're supposed to declare I'm accursed.
Exactly.
He says, even if I come back and tell you a different gospel, like maybe I got hit over the head with a baseball bat. No, I didn't have baseball bats, but maybe something happened to me and I started talking out of my mind. Even if I come back and tell you some different gospel, you have to declare me accursed, because the gospel I told you is the real gospel.
Yeah. And we have to be mindful that, you know, the enemy, Satan, comes to kill, steal, mm-hmm. and destroy.
Exactly.
He wants to kill us. He wants to steal the gift that God's given us. He wants to destroy the promises that God mm-hmm. has in store for us,
yes.
and the inheritance that God has mm-hmm. in store for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have to be mindful of that.
Yes. And even though Satan's a defeated enemy, he still has power and he's still fighting.
Yes.
We know he's defeated, but he's still going to take a lot of casualties with him.
Mm-hmm.
Before Jesus
he's
comes back.
He's trying to take as many casualties as he can with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you probably know by now, if you've been a Christian more than a day and a half, if you try to take him on with your own power, you're a guaranteed casualty.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that kind of power.
Right.
He'll outsmart you. He'll outwork you. He doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't have to eat. He's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And he's very intelligent.
Yeah.
And he can outsmart 10 of us put together in a second.
And, you know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking to some people, and, you know, there was a heaviness. You can tell there was a heaviness in the group. And we were talking about a couple things about serving the Lord and following the Lord. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a cost to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it got back to that, you know, even Jesus told Peter, you know, Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
Yeah.
And being a Christian, taking up your cross and following Christ, as he says, pick up your cross and follow me, isn't always easy.
Yeah. People nowadays don't like to hear that part of the gospel.
No, they don't. And then we're probably going to get some comments about how we're, you know, that's not happy stuff. But that's what you're saying about how the gospel's been marginalized, watered down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happened.
Yep.
We want to hear a feel-good message.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's one thing to encouraging someone, but there's another thing to leading them astray and not telling them the truth.
Yeah.
And it's two fundamentally different things.
Yes.
One is going to build them up. The other one's going to lead them down a path that they are going to get crushed.
Yes.
And, you know, when Jesus tells Peter, you know, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Well, how is wheat sifted? There's these two big stones, these stone wheels, mm-hmm. and it crushes the wheat, the grain.
Yep.
It flattens it. I mean,
yep.
you know, pulverizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, if we think that we're going to be in this world and not get hit, then we're really not prepared. We're not really not truly prepared emotionally, physically, you know, psychologically, as to what God is calling us to do.
Yeah.
And we really need to be prepared for that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm going to go to Ephesians 4 for 1 second here, because he says...
It's okay, Paul wrote that too.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking that he did. And he says, never let evil talk pass your lips. Say only the good things men need to hear, things that will really help them. Do nothing that will sadden the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed against the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, all passion and anger, harsh words, slander and malice of every kind. In place of these, be kind to one another, compassionate and mutually forgiving, just as God has forgiven you in Christ.
Mm. Wow, that's good.
Yeah. So it's, you know, but again, it's not telling them an untruth.
Right.
It's being truthful with them.
Right.
But in love.
Right.
Exactly. And in compassion.
Yes. Gentleness and respect is how we should do that.
Yeah, because whenever God approaches us, there's always an invitation to turn to him.
Sure.
Just like in the prodigal son, you know.
Yeah.
The father comes and the son has all this, you know, his litany of what he's going to say to the father to get back at his good graces.
He's got his confession all written out.
And, you know, was it really a confession or was it really like, well, you know, I'm really starving here. If I say this to my dad, you don't even have to treat me as a son anymore. Yeah. I'll be a hired slave.
Yeah.
The father comes up and greets him before he says a word and kisses him.
Yep.
He doesn't kiss him after the son gives his litany of ills.
That's right.
He kisses him before
that's
that. Right. And that's what God, our Father,
that's right.
wants to do with us.
And puts the beautiful robe right over his smelly clothes after he's been with the pigs and everything else. And That's the gospel of grace. And this is what, in Galatians, Paul's trying to get back to.
Right.
And say, we can't go backwards. You know, like the writer to the Hebrews says, the things were types and shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the substance.
Right.
If you have the substance, you don't want to go back and say, let's do the types and shadows again.
Yeah.
Because that was fun. But we have the substance here. Why do you want to go back to the types and shadows? Yeah. And Paul, you know, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Paul was more upset about that than he was about all the moral failings that people had.
Mm-hmm.
The Corinthian church had all kind of moral failure that Paul addressed.
Right.
But he was more upset about this. As we're going to see in a minute, he calls these Galatians foolish.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really, you know, Paul was kind of an outspoken guy who
just a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of hard to deal with. And you can just imagine, he probably used more colorful language than foolish. It's probably been cleaned up in the translation. But anyway, so this got him more upset than the moral failings.
Right.
Because once you start to dilute the gospel, then you don't know where it's going to go. Or once you say, well, this part of it, I don't think is meant like that. Well, then, okay, maybe it's this other instead. And after a couple of decades or even a couple of years of that, you have a totally different gospel.
Exactly. You have no, your whole compass of where you should be.
And we've seen that. And we've seen that happen in Western society. Mm-hmm. Look what's happening in the churches in Western Europe. They're a disaster.
Yeah.
Look what's happened here in the last 30 to 40 years. Totally different than when we were growing up.
We want to sanitize things. We want to,
right?
You know, just
nobody wants to feel bad. And you know, if you tell people what they want to hear, you can get really big congregations.
Mm-hmm.
When Jeremiah was prophesying of, you know, the gloom and doom, and everybody was saying, "Oh, come on, dude, relax."
Yeah,
there were prophets that said, "Hey, don't worry, everything's cool.
Don't listen to
that guy. He's crazy."
Yeah.
They had big congregations. You know, the Pharisees said, wow, that guy really knows what he's talking about. And poor Jeremiah got thrown in the hole.
I shouldn't say nobody wants to listen to the truth, but you can see it time and time again that when the truth is spoken, people reject it.
That's right.
And it's you know, almost unbelievable.
Well, like, we're hearing that now.
Yeah.
How can you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? You're narrow-minded. You're a bigot.
Yeah.
How can you say that this is wrong and that's wrong and this lifestyle is not, everything is good. It's whatever you make it to be.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when you pervert, change the gospel a little bit at a time. Then it becomes unrecognizable.
Right. And that's what the devil does.
Yes.
He gives that's you, right. he gives you a
little bit of truth.
He gives you just a pinch of, just a little bit of air.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of truth.
Yeah.
A little bit of air.
Mm-hmm.
And then we rationalize and go, well, you know, that might make sense.
Yeah.
I can see
that. Then you cut down a little, put a little less truth, a little more lie. Then after a while, you got a lot more lie than truth.
And it happens over a period mm-hmm. of time where it's not just blatantly in our face of, mm-hmm. you know, here we are here, you know, we're here, and then somebody's going to come and say, okay, we're going to legitimize all killing.
Yeah.
Well, everybody would reject that because everybody would go, that's crazy. We can't, right. you know, that's immoral.
Right.
But if you gradually mm-hmm. indoctrinate people yeah. to believe something.
It's the frog in the water thing.
Yeah. yeah. And it's in it. And it culturally, we have seen that in our own country mm-hmm. over the last 30, 40, 50 sure. years.
Sure. And if you don't change with the culture, you know, Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible all through says God doesn't change. There's no shadow of right. turning. There's no changing. I'm always the same.
Right.
He is and was and will be and so forth. Now, if you don't go with the stream of the culture, then you're narrow-minded and you're a bigot.
Yeah.
How can you possibly believe that?
And if you don't know God's word, mm-hmm. and God says, yes. my people will perish for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
And when the faithful do not know his word,
mm-hmm.
which is food for us yeah. spiritually,
yeah.
we will starve and we will perish.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important for people to get back to reading the Gospels,
yeah.
studying the Bible, and understanding God's word.
Yeah. Let's read some
yes,
Galatians.
Let's read ahead. Some from
read
Galatians.
Chapter 2. Let's start with 19 and 20.
Chapter 2, 19 and 20. Do I have a chapter 2 in my
book? I think so. Do you have a Galatians?
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay. For through the law I died to the law, that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself up for me.
There we go. So Paul restates the gospel, basically.
Yeah.
Now, this is Paul, the Pharisee, the scholar, the really learned guy, who was, as he put it in the chapter before, he was more zealous for the law than anyone. He was advancing in Judaism more than anyone. And now he says, hey, I've died to the law.
And he was the one who was persecuting the early
That's
church,
right.
the first believers.
Right. Now he says, I've died to the law. He's not expecting salvation from the law.
Right.
His refuge is in the gospel. Mm-hmm. His refuge is in grace through Jesus dying on the cross. Because now he realizes that's salvation, not the law.
Right.
Because the law condemns you, mm-hmm. doesn't have a remedy for your condemnation.
Right.
You know, he wants to live unto God. He wants to be saved from death and condemnation.
Right.
He wants to have life. He can't get that through the law. So he says he gets this through Jesus, through mm-hmm. the sacrifice, because the substance that we've been talking about has come. So you
right.
Galatians, you know, you got to think about this. You can't go back to the types and shadows.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to types and shadows. I've died to the law.
Yeah.
So if salvation's from all these laws, then it can't be from grace.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be saved by doing the law of Moses, then the cross wasn't necessary.
Right.
So what did Jesus die for?
Exactly.
Jesus could have just come and said, listen, you got the law of Moses, now get to it. I'm here to tell you got to do this law. So, you know, He says, if you can be saved by the law of Moses, then what was the necessity of the cross?
Exactly. And it's the blood of Messiah that fulfills the whole law.
Amen.
It's that love.
Woo. I'm excited. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org and search for us on Facebook. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a minute after we listen to Paul Wilbur.
Let them flee from before him. The smoke is driven away. So drive them away.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're going through the last part of Galatians chapter 2. And it's interesting, you know, Paul's pointing out that he's been crucified with Christ. Now, he physically wasn't crucified with Christ, obviously, because there was only Jesus on the cross. Nobody else was on the cross with him.
Yeah.
But we were all there in terms of our sin and failings and shortfalls. So basically, Paul's saying the old man is crucified, and now the new man lives. So, you know, he's living in Christ. Christ is living in him. He's living in Christ. It's not him who lives, but he lives in Christ.
Right.
And this is really kind of the mystery of the good news, you know, that he died for us, and we can now deal with our sin and our transgression, and we become adopted sons, like we've said many times.
Right.
And we can say, listen, I'm going to try, I'm not going to succeed all the time, but I'm going to try to get away from the stuff of the world, and I want to get more with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you're going to be saved because you're going to go from death into life because of this.
Exactly.
And, you know, you don't, you know, you like we said before the break, you don't go back to types and shadows.
Right.
Now, if you saw Paul, you know, walking around, he's still in the flesh. He still looked like a man. He still looked like everybody else around him. But he's different now.
Right.
He's been changed. He's been transformed. And, you know, his life was totally changed when he understood what happened on the cross. And he's telling these Galatians, the law can't do that for you. The law doesn't live in you.
Right.
The law doesn't come into you and say, whoa, you're a new person now.
Mm-hmm.
The law can't give you divine life. But when you become a believer in Jesus and understand his sacrifice on the cross, your life is changed and his spirit comes to live in you.
Yeah.
So you literally are a new creation, like he says in some other places.
Yeah, I mean, the Spirit of God lives within us and that law is written upon our heart.
Yeah.
So, you know, as Paul is saying, I'm no longer living a life for myself, but it's a life of faith through Christ who now lives in me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So even though some people would say, hey, Paul, how you doing? You're looking good. What's happening? You've been working out. What have you been doing? You know, he looked like the same guy, but he was a different guy.
Exactly.
He was a different guy.
Totally transformed.
Exactly. Because he knew now that through this covenant of grace, through the cross, he was liberated from all that stuff that he was worried about before, because Jesus was the end of the law, the what the law was pointing to. He came to fulfill the law.
He fulfilled it, right.
Yeah, he didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. You know, the moral law is still in force.
He was the atonement for the curse.
Right. And the law shows us, as we when we did the book of Romans, you know, the law shows us what we are, that we're sinners, that we mm-hmm. stand condemned. And the law, if someone tells you the good news of salvation through Jesus, and then you look at the law and you look at yourself, the law drives you to the cross because you realize mm-hmm. you're a miserable failure.
Yeah.
And if you're going to keep doing this law stuff, you're not going to get very far.
Right.
And Paul is trying to get back to these Galatians to say, this is really, really good news.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said before, you know, it didn't matter whether you were a Jew or a Gentile. I mean, everybody in the world is either a Jew or a Gentile.
Right.
So, you know, which means if you're a Jew, you have to have faith.
Right.
If you're a Gentile, you have to have faith. Everybody in the world mm-hmm. has to come to Jesus through faith and not through works of the law.
Right. And I think the one thing that I'm thinking about here is that, you know, Jesus died, and part of God's plan was for him to ascend to heaven, that the Holy Spirit would then come
mm-hmm.
and fill the hearts of the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't live apart from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if you're going to go back and do the law, then how does Jesus fit into this?
Yes, exactly.
How does the Spirit fit into this? Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A life through him, mm-hmm. in the Spirit, mm-hmm. in a relationship with God.
Amen.
That's the abundance that he's talking about.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And this is going to lead into chapter 3. Now, Paul doesn't say, oh, this leads me right into chapter 3. Stay tuned next week.
Are we done already? Oh, no.
No.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, all these chapter breaks are
sometimes
in bad places. But, you know, the whole thing, and you have to keep in mind what the context of this is. These people were doing a different gospel now, mm-hmm. which, as he said in chapter 1, is no gospel at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the law is not a gospel. The law can't save you. The law can't give you divine life. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit can. So then he gets frustrated.
Yeah.
Why don't you read?
Yeah, because they started doing stuff like not eating with, you know,
yeah,
separating themselves yeah. and all this other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you read Galatians 3.
Chapter 3?
Yeah. Why don't you do like, 1-4 for starters.
Okay. Oh, stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I want to learn only this from you. Did you receive the Spirit from works of the law or from faith in what you have heard? Are you so stupid? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain.
Ooh.
Wow. Paul just lays it out.
Oh, he does. He spends chapter 1, and he says, look, I've spent chapter 1 and 2 telling you. You know, he says, you've turned from this gospel, you've changed the gospel. Then he gets, like, frustrated. He says, you're stupid, you're foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish Galatians. He says, who's bewitched you? You know, somebody has come and started telling them other things.
Yeah.
You know, he uses the term bewitched, or, you know, it's kind of a, you know, kind Church. Of a nasty term.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were... Someone has been misleading them,
mm-hmm.
and he calls them foolish or stupid.
Right.
Because you had this tremendous gospel, and now you're foolishly backing away from them. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's insulting them.
Yeah.
He's not being very tolerant.
He's not being PC.
No, because somebody could have said, because somebody could have come and said, Paul, you have to like accept these Galatians like they are, and you have to be nice. But no, he didn't say that. He was not politically correct, because... What he's saying there in that paragraph is the details of the gospel were preached among them. They were emphatically preached to them, and they saw it, and they believed it. They came to this faith, and now they should still be hanging on to that faith,
right.
because they were so into this that they literally, not literally, but they saw Jesus and him crucified, you know, portrayed among them. In other words, Paul came and said, let me tell you the good news of salvation. Yeshua, Jesus was the Messiah. He died for you. Your sin was put on him. He gave his life up on the cross as a blood offering, and therefore you can be saved. And they said, yes, we believe this.
And they received the Spirit.
And they received the Spirit. And you know, it was an emphatic thing. And they praised him and they worshiped him, and presumably they did, you know, communion, the Lord's Supper, they did prayer meetings, they had Bible studies, and you know, they did all these things, and then the gospel started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that's happened in our time. A little here, a little there, like you said a little while ago, little change here, little change there. Mm-hmm. And then over a period of a couple of decades, you say, wow, we've had a lot of change, but at least we're getting with the times.
Yeah.
And he calls them foolish. And then he asks them the penetrating question. So did you get the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, by law or because you heard us preach?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, did you get it by following laws, or did you get it from faith?
Right.
Did you get it from doing things, you know, putting everything right, washing your hands the right way, you know, not eating this, not eating that, standing over here, not standing over there? Or did you get it from hearing what we had to say?
Exactly.
And they knew the answer to that. They heard the message of Christ. They heard the message of the crucifixion. They heard Paul preach this emphatically. They believed it. They got the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit came down on them. And he says, you started with that. You know, they started with the truth of the gospel, and now they're inching back to doing works of the law,
mm-hmm.
which was a change of the gospel.
Right. And you know, if Jesus is the Messiah, and he is the atonement for sin, the one sacrifice for all.
Right.
Then do you go back and offer sacrifices again?
Yeah.
If you believe that he is the sacrifice?
Yeah. That would
was his sacrifice insufficient?
Yeah, exactly.
And this is, you know, Paul's really driving this point home to them.
Oh, yeah. He was giving it to him good. It's like, are you improving the gospel by doing this?
Yeah.
Are you? You know, we have people today. I mean, how do we think today? Oh, yeah, yeah, it's the gospel. But, you know, now the gospel is even better because we accept this, we accept this, we're tolerant of this, yeah. We don't worry about that anymore. So, hey, the gospel's getting better and better.
Well, we live in a culture where we want things new and improved. You know, you have a product out, and they make a new and improved version of it. And then after a couple more years, they make another new and improved version of it.
Yeah, that's right.
And nothing's good as the original.
That's right. Yeah. So they were, you know, quote, improving, unquote, the gospel by adding things to it,
mm-hmm.
or sliding back to what they were doing before. And, you know, you can see how upset Paul is about this.
Yeah.
He's not just like a little bit of, well, let's talk about this for a minute. he's yelling at him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he even says at the last verse there that you read that apparently they had suffered for the faith somewhat, you know, because mm-hmm. they said you suffered, you know, did you suffer in vain?
Right.
And, you know, they had gotten, you know, they had through faith, they had gotten salvation, the gifts of the Spirit. And now they decided to start moving away from that.
Yeah.
So you started out in the Spirit, and now you want to go back to the flesh. Now you want to go back to the law.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the Spirit?
Yeah.
You have the Spirit dwelling in you, and now you want to go backwards.
Mm-hmm. And I think to some extent, there's that's really happened in the church over 2,000 years of church history, yeah. where over time, people said, well, you know, the gifts were back then and we don't really need them now, which is inherently wrong,
mm-hmm.
because God's Spirit is for all people.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh and all people. And you see it time and time again that people want to go back. And, you know, you're trying to put new wine into an old wineskin.
Yeah.
You're trying to put the Spirit into the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus is telling them this as he's on the earth about the new wine, the new wineskins, yeah. the old wineskins. And they really didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't understand what he was expressing to them there. But you're trying to put something new, something of fullness,
mm-hmm.
in of living a life of faith in God,
mm-hmm.
through his Son in the Spirit.
Yes.
Into an old wineskin.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't
That's
work.
That's right. That's a good point. They want to start moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in...
We want to go back to Egypt.
Yeah,
we're going to Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here to
die? Exactly. And, you know, isn't that, that's kind of a pattern of human behavior that goes on.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the writer to the Hebrews said, you know, you had types and shadows, now you have substance.
Right.
What's going to happen if you go back to the types and shadows? You have the substance. Why do you want to go back to the types and shadows?
Right.
Or if you reject the substance, then what's the alternative? Well, you got to go back to the law. So, you know, go have at it and good luck to you, but you're not going to do well.
Yeah.
Especially when you've already known the truth. You're not going to say, oh, I know that's true, but you know what? I like this other stuff better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a perplexing point of us humans that God made.
I know. This has got messed up. I can't wait to meet Adam and Eve.
Oh, man.
Especially Eve. You know, what was that?
And yet,
woman who...
It was a woman that put you, that you put here with me. Everything was fine until you put her over here. Talk about blaming God. Wow. Yeah,
she keeps telling me to get up off the couch and go cut the grass. And go, then she really messed it up.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. And that's what, and that led to all the problems we have today.
Cards and letters to Grace.
You can go on the website and send me an email. So, you know, he goes on because he wants to make a point to the Judaizers that are there, and he wants to make a point to the people who he's talking to who are being misled into changing the gospel. So why don't you read 5-9?
Does then the one who supplies the Spirit to you and works mighty deeds among you do so from works of the law or from faith in what you heard? Thus Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Realize then that it is those who have faith who are children of Abraham. Scripture, which saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, foretold the good news to Abraham, saying, through you shall all the nations be blessed. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, who had faith.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So was it the Spirit or the works of the law that caused you to do all these cool things? They knew the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do the law all the time and nothing's ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the law is bad. You know, that's the book of Romans. I think we already did that. But anyway.
Yeah.
You know, now you're moving away from that. Now you're forsaking that to go back to do more law stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You're taking the freedom that you have in the Spirit, the power that you have in the Spirit, and say, well, that was nice while we were doing that, but now let's go back and do some more of that law stuff.
Yeah, it was nice having all those charismatic prayer meetings, but now we're going to go and
we're just going to go back and...
We're not going to use the gifts anymore.
we're past that.
We're done healing people and delivering people. It's just too taxing. Oh, my.
Yeah. So then, you know, he gets back to our old friend Abraham. I mean old friend. He was old. You know, the book of Hebrews says he and Sarah were as good as dead. I always thought that was pretty snotty. And you think I'm in trouble.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
When that guy met Abraham.
You got nothing on them.
Yeah. So, you know, he quotes from Genesis 15:6, you know, that Abraham believed and it was counted as righteousness. Then Paul talks about this in Romans, and it's requoted again in Hebrews. Because Abraham faithfully obeyed what God wanted him to do. And interestingly enough, when God called Abraham, Abraham wasn't circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a law.
Yeah.
But God called him. He listened. He obeyed. He had faith. And this was counted as righteousness.
Yeah. You know, you bring up a really good point, is that God called Abraham before he made the covenant with him, because circumcision was a sign of the covenant.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't that Abraham was circumcised and then God said, okay, well, since you did that, I'll make a covenant with you. God made the covenant with Abraham, and then circumcision was a sign that every male would be circumcised on the eighth day.
That's right.
Just like baptism is a sign of the new covenant.
That's right.
Baptized into Christ through his death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need to recognize what the sign of that covenant is, and does it preclude, or is it a precursor to what is required, or is it just a sign that this is how you're going to be distinguished?
Yeah. And Paul's making the point to them that Abraham was justified by faith before there was a law,
right?
Before he was circumcised, before there were any, quote, chosen people other than him and Sarah. There were two chosen people at this point.
Exactly.
Actually, probably just Abraham. But anyway, and so this is the basis. You know, Paul's very intelligent and he constructs these arguments. And he says, look what happened to Abraham. It was by faith. Abraham hadn't done anything. He hadn't followed any law. Mm-hmm. There was no law. Wasn't circumcised. So based on the promises that God made to him, he believed, and it was counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Ooh. Last break already. Wow. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Chains of death are broken. Lord of hosts, pour your power out. We have overcome by the name and the blood of the Lamb of God. Every wall must fall, every knee must bow to the
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Wow, we're in the last segment already, and we got Paul just, you know, going off on these dopey Galatians because they were so easily distracted. And, you know, they had been, I don't care if they're waiting for me or not. I won't know a Galatian from an Ephesian when I'm in heaven, so.
Yeah, I'm down if
unless they form like a gang. But anyway, there he is. But anyway, so Paul's, you know, he's
I think they would lose their status as residents there if they did that. They'd have to forgive you.
You had to come knocking on the door of my mansion. I was like, who are you guys? They say, we're those dopey Galatians. I say, oh, you guys want any coffee or anything? So Paul goes back to this. You know, the promises made to Abraham, we know, you know, descendants land. But the last promise is the important one, that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, which includes us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're Gentiles. Stephen and I are Gentiles. Most of you listening are probably Gentiles. And interestingly, we Gentiles were brought into the kingdom by the preaching of Jewish evangelists, including Paul.
Yeah.
That, you know, may have evangelized some of our ancestors, but We come into the kingdom because that word is proclaimed to us, and we accept that word by faith.
Right.
And we're justified by faith. And we don't go back to the law of Moses to do our justification and salvation.
Right.
And Paul even says that what this interaction that he describes with Abraham foreshadows that the Gentiles would be saved by faith. Because it's through these promises to Abraham.
Yeah.
And then he says, if you are in faith, then you're a spiritual child of Abraham.
Right.
And it doesn't matter that you're not biologically a Jew. Mm-hmm. So we as Gentiles who are believers in the Messiah, we are spiritual children of Abraham.
Right.
And we're blessed through Abraham, but not so much Abraham himself, but the promises that God made to Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, because what he's getting at is that there were people that were saying that obviously that they had to be circumcised and they had to observe the law to bring about the blessings.
Yes.
That God promised.
Yes.
And, you know, then there's the extreme, the other extreme that people believe that, well, I don't have to keep any laws. I can do whatever I want.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's all obviously grace. Total false.
All grace.
That's all obviously.
No matter what I do, it's all going to be good in the end.
Yeah, because then you're presuming God's mercy.
Yes.
And if you never seek repentance and reconciliation.
Presumption is a serious problem.
Yeah, it's a serious problem in our culture today. Yeah. So there's, you know, we've been preaching about this and talking about this for many months about turning our hearts back to God, seeking God and asking Him to heal our land. And we still need to do that. Mm-hmm. We need to constantly do that because we want to be in favor with God, because God's going to bless us.
Yeah.
And the blessings that God's going to bestow upon us are far greater than anything we can try and do ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, he points out in verses 10 through 12, it's actually a quote from Deuteronomy, the first one there. It's from Deuteronomy 27, 26, that if you don't follow the law, you're going to be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the covenant. If you don't follow the law, you're going to be condemned.
Yeah.
And the law pronounces you to be condemned. The law comes to you and says, how have you done with me? And you say, well, not very good. Well, you're condemned then.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you what your actual situation is. Mm-hmm. So if you follow law only, then you have to depend on your own righteousness in order to be saved. Yes. So like he said before, and like he says, you know, if you read through the Roman road, we all fall under the curse of the law, because he says, not one is righteous, not one. So then he quotes from Habakkuk 2:4 that the just shall live by faith. So even the ancient promise prophet Habakkuk says, the just live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just because you're living by faith doesn't mean that you're necessarily completely just and righteous, but you are justified by that faith.
Right.
More so than you would be trying to follow the law.
Right. You're not justified by anything you've done. You're justified by the blood of the Lamb.
Right. Because the law doesn't promise forgiveness.
I mean, you have to go back to Exodus when the blood of the Lamb was placed on the doorpost.
Exactly.
Because when God said he was going to strike the firstborn of every creature.
Yes.
The Israelites were right in the midst of all that.
Yes.
But because the blood of the Lamb... But the blood of the Lamb was on the doorpost.
Yeah.
They were spared.
Yes. That's right. The law asked the question, you know, so how have you done? Mm-hmm. How'd you do with that one? And it's not so much about what you believe, but then, you know, I know we're coming close to the end, but, you know, what you want to read 13 and 14? Because that's pretty good, too.
Sure. But the law does not depend on faith. Rather, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ ransomed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Whew. So this is the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
This is why he's yelling at the dopey Galatians, because he's saying Jesus redeems you from the law. He redeems you from the curse.
Yeah.
By becoming the curse.
Yeah.
And by becoming the curse, because he hangs on a tree. Everyone is cursed who hangs on a tree.
Yeah.
Because he was a curse, because he hung on a tree, the blessing that was given to Abraham can also be given to the Gentiles.
Right.
The Gentiles can become heirs to the same promise that the Jews had, right, to the same promise of salvation, and receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, mm-hmm, not through, let's go back and do more laws.
Right. Right, because Jesus took upon himself our sin.
Ooh.
And our sin is that curse. Because, yes, because we sin, the curse is we die.
Exactly.
And Jesus stood in our place and did that.
Exactly.
He took upon our, he took upon himself our sin and received the curse that we deserved.
Yes.
So that we wouldn't have to, yes, face that.
And he literally became the curse.
Yes. Right?
Just like Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who did not know sin became sin.
Sin, right.
He becomes a curse.
Right.
He hangs on a tree so that we can be co-heirs to the, mm-hmm, promises.
Right.
So that the promises to Abraham can be fulfilled. God's, right, promises are eternal. The promises he, right, made to Abraham are all fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
There's descendants, there's land, and there's lots of descendants Abraham, yeah, would have had no idea about.
Exactly.
Spiritual descendants, not just physical descendants.
Mm-hmm.
And every nation on earth has been blessed through him.
Yeah. And just like the Israelites at the first Passover, we can stand before God because we're covered in the blood of the,
amen,
Lamb.
Amen.
You know, Satan wants to say, guilty.
Yes.
Look at what he did.
Yeah.
He didn't keep any of your commandments.
He's the accuser of the brethren.
Exactly. And Jesus stands there and says, not guilty.
Woo. Wow.
Wow.
If you don't get anything out of this show, the last 10 minutes have been the best. Wow. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. It's been great to be here with you again.
Have a blessed week, everyone. And just have a blessed week in the spirit of the Lord. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.